All right, Jabo said, let's begin. A lot to do today. Beautiful daf ahead of us. Today's daf is Kuf Lamites 139. And we are picking up at the two dots on Kuf Lamit Ches Amad Beis 138b. So remember again, the Mishnah said, B'chul Nevalom Mukdash, so we had the great schos to begin the new parak yesterday, and to speak about the, thank you. Our shir this morning is dedicated by Paul and Kathy Pollack this month, in commemoration of the yahrzeits of Paul's parents, Shmuel ben Zechariah and Sarah bas Avram, zichronam livracha. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the neshamos will have an aliyah and the family in Nechama. So we'll say, so with that, remember again, the Mishnah said that shiloach hakein, sending away the mother bird, only applies to chulin animals, not to mukdashin animals, not to kodesh animals. Amaylo, so why is that? The Amr Krak, as the pasuk says, shaleach to shalach es haim. Send away the mother. Send away the mother. So shiloach hakein only applies to a bird that you are obligated to send away. This comes to exclude a bird that you are not mechuyev to go ahead and send away, but rather that you are obligated to bring to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Gizbar. Obviously, if you're makadish, a bird, you're makadish an animal, you're obligated to bring that to the Beis HaMikdash. Am Ravino. Ravina says, therefore, interesting, I will say, interesting application of this concept. Therefore, if you have a kosher bird, right, that chas v'shalom killed someone, such a bird is pater from shiluach. Pater from shiluach. My time, what's the reason? Because the pasuk says, send away the mother. So you only are obligated to send away the mother bird when there's a din shiluach. This comes to exclude a bird that you are not obligated to send away, but rather that you are obligated to go ahead and bring to Beis Din. I will say, if an animal kills a human being, that animal, so to speak, is sentenced by Beis Din and is put to death. So the Gemara says, Hei Chidami, what's the case? If the animal was already judged, found liable to be executed, type of koflamites, barktalu, then it's sentenced to death. It's already barktalu. Obviously, there's no din of shiluach hakein. Ella delo gamar dine. Rather, what's the case where the animal has not yet been sentenced? Uboy la asuye lebe dine. And ultimately, again, you need to bring it to Beis Din. V'kayume be ube arta ram bekebecha. In order to fulfill the obligation of expunge the evil from within your midst. To which the Gemara says, Hani mukdashin hechidami. What's the case of a mukdash animal? Ilema. So we'll say, so now we've just established that ultimately, again, so exceptions to this rule. If a bird is supposed to be executed because it killed someone, it is part of from shiloach hakein. Good. Next case. What about hegdish? So we said that an animal that is hegdish, a bird that is hegdish, is not subject to shiloach hakein. To which the Gemara says, hechidami. What is the case? Here we go. Ilim with the Havilei came Besoch Beso. Say if you want to say that it was a nest inside of my house. Va'aktishay, and I sanctified the nest. Mi mechayiv. Would such a nest ever be subject to the obligation of Shiloach HaKein? After all, ki kari kan sipor prat l'muzuman. If you remember again, the Mishnah explained that in order to be subject to the obligation of kan sipor, what's the halacha? It has to be baderech. It can't be prepared. On a basic level means it can't be owned by me. If it's already owned by me, then it's not subject to shiluach hakein. Ella dechaza kein ba'alma. Rather, it has to be, I saw a nest out in the veldt. Right? I saw a nest out in the world. So one second. Va'akdishay. And I was makdish the nest. So the Gemara says, that doesn't work. Umikadish, Rabbo say, if I'm walking down the road and I see a bird's nest, and I say, that bird's nest is hegdish, does that create hegdish? So the Gemara says, after all, ish ki yakdish es beso kodesh. Amarachmana. So we'll say, the Torah gives an example. If a person will be makdish his home. So we'll say, this teaches us an important halacha vis-a-vis hegdish. So the Gemara says, ma beso b'shuso. Just like my home is owned by me, afkol b'shuso. So to Rabbo say, your only ability to make something hegdish is if what? If it's owned by you. In other words, you can't make something hefker hegdish. You must first go ahead and own it, and only then can you make it hegdish, which makes sense. We'll say hegdish, right, is a din in ownership. Now this is actually very interesting. Now obviously, we'll say, so what does this do? This creates a little bit of a complicated situation vis-a-vis shiluach hakein. Why? Elas, Rabbo says, so what has to be the case? Da'ag binu la'afrochim, vak deshinu, Vahadur hadrinu. So I'll say, so what's the case? I come to a bird's nest, I lift up the chicks, I acquire them, I'm makdish them, and then I put them back in the nest. So the Gemara says, that won't work. So the Gemara says, b'chulin nami lo mechayiv. We'll say, once I do that, once I pick up the chicks, so the mitzvah of shiluach hakan is done. Disanya, because we learned, natalas habanim vechzirun lakan. So we'll say, if I take the chicks out of the nest, and then I go ahead and return them back to the nest, and then the mother comes back and sits on the nest. I'm positive she's looking at what I say. In other words, once I perform some act of ownership on the nest, on the chicks, then the mitzvah of shiluach hakein is done. So therefore, we're trying to figure out what's the case ultimately where what? What's the case where halacha lemaisa, I'm going to be makdish? What's the case where I'm going to be makdish the nest or makdish the... What's the case of hekdish by shiluach hakein? Ella de'agba le'im va'akdish shava hadra. So it says, maybe what's the case? I makdish the mother. I lift up the mother. I go and I makdish her. And then she goes back and sits on the nest. To which the Gemara says, me'ikara ichayev le'bishiluach hashta bishiluach mikamei de'akdisha. So I'll say, ultimately, again, in this case, she was originally chayev and shiluach, or subject to shiluach hakein, before I was makdisher. The sanya, we'll say first white line, kufla mitesa mandalif, the sanya, Rabbi Yochanan ben Yosef Omer, hikdish chayev v'acharkach shachta, patum l'chasos. We'll say if a person was makdish chayev, and then afterwards shechted the animal, then an animal is pata from kisi hadam. Shachta v'acharkach hikdisha, but if halacha l'maisa you shechted the animal, and then only afterwards will you makdish it, then what? Chayiv l'chasos. In that case, there's an obligation of kisui. Why? Shekvar nischayiv b'kisui kodim shiyavo lidei hekdish. Because we'll say in that case over here, we're ultimately again, the obligation of kisui set in when? At the time of shechita. And then ultimately, I was only makdish it afterwards. I'm chayiv in kisui hadam. Shekvar nischayiv b'kisui kodim shiyavo lidei hekdish. So Rav Amar, supposed to say that we're still trying to figure out the case of what is the hektish case by shiluach hakein. So Rav gives a different interpretation. Rav says b'makdish peros shovcho umardo. Interesting case. So Rav will say what happens. I have a dove coat. I'm makdish my dove coat. Now the truth is that you could do because the dove coat is considered to be owned property. So I'm makdish the dove coat umardo. We'll say mardu means what? Mardu means the doves run away. They run away after that. They escape. They literally, what is the expression? Fly the coop. Right? They literally fled the coop. So what happens? So Rav says, that's a case where what? Where ultimately the animal is hagdish. And now what happens? Now let's say I'm walking down the street. I go ahead and I see my bird roosting somewhere on the derech. What's the halacha? The halacha is such a bird is potter from shiluach hakein. Ushmuel Amar Shmuel says, b'makdish tarnagalto lebedek habayis. Which is an interesting case. Shmuel says, what's the case? Where I was makdish my chicken for bedek habayis. I must remember again, bedek habayis means what? Bedek habayis means monetary sanctity. Right? Not kiddushas haguf, but kiddushas mamon, kiddushas damim. So we'll say, interesting enough, Shmuel says that the case over here is where I makdish my chicken for bedek habayis. Now if you look at Rashi, she says, actually, not yet. So the Gemara says, watch this. Bishlama Shmuel lo Omar Kirav. So I understand why Shmuel doesn't subscribe to Rav's idea to come okim le b'kadshe bedek habayis. Because ultimately Shmuel would rather set up the case of kadshe bedek habayis rather than kadshe damim. El Rav, my time lo Omar Kishmuel. But why doesn't Rav go ahead and hold like Shmuel? Omar lecha Rav. Rav says, Davko kapachim mishiluach kegon peros shovcho. The kadshe misbeachninu. So listen to this. So this is actually very interesting. Rav says that the reason he doesn't hold like Shmuel is as follows. Rav wants to suggest that there is a fundamental distinction between Kiddushas Damim and Kiddushas Haguf. Monetary sanctity versus physical sanctity. Physical sanctity always remains with the animal no matter what happens. Even if the animal runs away, that's what it means, mardu, rebelled. That physical sanctity always remains. Monetary sanctity, conversely, only applies when? when halach lamaisa the animal is under the dominion of the owner. But once the animal flees from the owner and is no longer under the control of the owner, that monetary sanctity dissipates as well. Therefore, Rav does not want to set up the case like Shmuel, dealing with Kadshei Bedek HaBayis. Shmuel, what will Shmuel say? This is actually quite amazing. Shmuel will say, Kol Hecha Di'isei Bebei Gaza Dirachmana Isei. He'll say, Shmuel says, even if the animal runs away, the monetary sanctity does not dissipate. Why? Because wherever the animal goes, it's considered to be in the treasury of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I say, what does that mean? That ultimately, K'dichsiv, as the Pasuk says, La'Shem Ha'aretz U'Melo'o. So we'll say, so interestingly enough, Rav says that monetary sanctity is only meaningful when the animal is under the ownership of the owner. But once the animal runs away, that monetary sanctity dissipates. Shmuel will say, not true. Even though the animal has run away from me and it's no longer under my control, the world belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so it's considered to be in the treasury of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore again that sanctity sticks. So the Gemara goes by to Vechinima, Rabbi Yochanan subscribes to this idea as well. So remember again, we're focusing on a very specific situation. We're just trying to figure out what is the case of an animal which became Hekdish, which is no longer subject to the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein. So Machlokes Rav and Shmuel. So Rav likes the case of where you've been makdish your dove coats, one of the doves runs away, settles out somewhere in the wild, you come across that nest out in the wild, you're not obligated in Shiluach HaKein because that animal is hekdish. Shmuel says, no, I prefer the case of someone who was makdish a chicken for Bedek HaBayis. You're supposed to remember again, a chicken can never have Kiddushas HaGuf, right? Can never have Kiddushas HaGuf. Why not? Because you don't offer up chicken as karbanos. There are no chicken karbanos. So because it never has Kiddushas HaGuf, the most you can be makdish it as is as Kiddushas Damim. And Shmuel will say, what's the case? The case is where ultimately you are makdish your chicken for Bedek HaBayis, chicken runs away, you find it afterwards, and find it sitting on its eggs. You are not obligated to chase away the chicken before you take the eggs. What's coming out over here is the fundamental duty in Rav and Shmuel is the way that Kiddushas Damim works. How does financial sanctity work? Rav will say financial sanctity is only in effect when the animal is under the ownership or under the dominion of the owner. Shmuel will say that even if the animal escapes, the Kiddushas Damim still remains. So the Gemara goes out to Vechinam Rabbi Yochanan, B'makdish Tanagotel Abed HaKabayis U'Marda. And Rabbi Yochanan subscribes to the view of Shmuel. Amr the Rabbi Shimon Reish Lakish. So listen to this. Amr the Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Reish Lakish is as follows. Becheva and Shemarda Pakele Kiddushasa. So Reish Lakish says to Rabbi Yochanan, but I don't understand. Once the animal runs away, once the chicken runs away, Halacha Lamaaseh, its financial sanctity should dissipate. Amrale bebe gaza derachman ise. Even though the animal has run away from its human owner, it still remains in the treasury of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Dechsev la shema aretz umloa. As the pasuk says, the entire world belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To which the Gemara asks, v'ramid Rabbi Yochanan, v'ramid Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish ad Rishon Lakish. So we'll say now what we have over here is a stira. We are going to find a contradiction between the opinions of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. So let's remember again, so far, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are having the same machlokes as Rav and Shmuel. Rabbi Yochanan holds like Shmuel, namely he wants to set up the case of the hekdish bird as a case of a chicken, based on the idea that monetary sanctity does not dissipate even if the animal runs away. Reish Lakish holds like Rav, namely, he doesn't like the case of the chicken because he will hold that monetary sanctity does dissipate if the animal runs away. See, here we go. So the Gemara says, "De itmar mona zele bedek habayis." If a person says, "I hereby pledge a mona to bedek habayis," which also means what? Monetary sanctity, right? I'm pledging money to the upkeep of the Beis Hamikdash, which is kedushas damim. Now, what happens? Benignivu o neevdu. And what happens? The money is stolen or it's lost. So, of course, what's the shaila now? What's the shaila? What is my liability? So, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chai Bachri Yusan, Ad Shavoli De Gizbar. Rabbi Yochanan says, ultimately, I am responsible for the money until it reaches the hands of the temple treasurer. So we'll say scenarios, the responsibility of the money is mine until I deliver it to the Beis Hamikdash. Rish Lakish, Rish Lakish says, Kol Hecha di Yisei Bebe Gaza de Rachmana Yisei. Rish Lakish says, no, this is amazing. Even though it's not in my hands, it's already in the coffers of God. In other words, what's supposed to happen already happened. It's in the coffers of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. After all, why is that? Techsiv La Shema Aretz Umlo. So we'll say, see what just happened over here? The exact reverse of the Shitos. Kashid Reish Lakish Ad Reish Lakish, Kashid Rabbi Yochanan Ad Rabbi Yochanan. Tirush Gemara says, no, it's not. Reish Lakish Ad Reish Lakish Lo Kashya. We'll say, it's not a Satir in Reish Lakish, why not? Hamikamei Deshamein Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi. We'll say, remember again, Rabbi Yochanan is Reish Lakish's Rabbi. So ultimately, again, this was before that ultimately Reish Lakish heard from Rabbi Yochanan. In other words, we both say, originally Reish Lakish thought that when something has financial sanctity, if the item runs away or, quote unquote, is stolen, the financial sanctity goes away. Then he learned from his Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan, that that is not the case. That ultimately financial sanctity remains, even if the animal runs away, even if the money is stolen. So he retracted. So what about Rabbi Yochanan? How about Rabbi Yochanan? But Rabbi said, what about Rabbi Yochanan's contradiction in himself? Rabbi Yochanan, Nami lo kasha, had amar alai, had amar harezu. Both say fascinating distinction. Everything depends on how you say it, right? If you say, both say, for example, if you were to go ahead and say, hare alai mana lebedek habayis. If you were to say, hereby take upon myself to bring a mana to the Beis Hamikdash. And I will say, ultimately, again, that money is stolen or lost. What's the halacha? Yeah. You're still on the hook. You're obligated to go ahead and replace it. Why? Because the way you articulated the obligation is how? On you. Masha'enkein, if you say, Harei zu, I'm going to give this money to the Beis HaMikdash, and something happens to this money, then what is the halacha? The halacha is, if something happens, it's stolen or lost, then what? You're off the hook. So therefore, Rabbi will say, Rabbi Yochanan will say, I'm not contradicting myself. When I said that if a person said manazu lebedek habayis and it gets lost or stolen, that you're no longer obligated to replace it, that's because the person was saying manazu, this mana. Something happens to the mana, I'm off the hook. So the Jewish Gemara says, Mechla d'Reish Lakish, Afa gav d'amar alai lo mechayiv. Now, again, the problem with saying that is, remember, Reish Lakish says he's Rabbi Yochanan. So you're telling me now that Reish Lakish holds that if a person were to say, mana alai, I hereby take upon myself to bring a mana, that ultimately, again, he would not be chayiv to replace that if something happened to it? Vatanya, we learned, Eizuhu neder ve'ezuhu nedava. We'll say, what is the distinction between a neder and a nedava? Now remember, again, we translate neder as a vow, and nidava as a voluntary item. But halachically, what's the difference between the two of them? A very important distinction. Ha'omer hare alai ola nidava. Let's say if a person says, I hereby take upon myself an obligation to bring an ola, that is a nidava. Right? However, ha'omer hare zu ola, Ezu nidava, ezu nidava. Neder Ha'omer hare alai. We'll say, so what's a neder? A person says, hare alai, I hereby take upon myself. So a neder is where I frame the obligation on myself. Hare alai. Ola. Nidava, what's a nidava? Ha'omer hare zu ola. So a person says, this is an ola. So what is the distinction? Uma be neder le nidava. So we'll say, here we go. Neder, mesa o migneva. If you have a neder, if the animal died or was stolen, so what's the halacha? So what's when it comes to a neder? Because you said what? Hare alai, the obligation is upon me. Therefore what? Therefore halacha lamai says something happens to the animal, I'm obligated to replace it. Nedava, on the other hand, mesa, o nignava, o sha'avda, but in the case of a nedava, if it died, or if it was stolen, or if it was lost, eino chayev b'achor yusa. Ultimately, again, I will not be chayiv, ultimately, in liability of that animal. Why? Because ultimately, the obligation devolved upon the animal, not upon me. Amlechar Yish Lakish. So Yish Lakish says, 1 second. So we'll say, so first of all, it just appears that everyone holds of this distinction of Harezu versus Hare Alai. Right? Harezu, ultimately, if something happens to the object, then the vower, I should say, the person who made the obligation, we'll just call it the person, is exempt. Versus when he says Hare Alai, if something happens to the object, the person is obligated in replacement. Amar Lachar Rish Lakish, Rish Lakish will say, Hani Mili Kachim is Beach, the Mechusr HaKrava. When do we make this distinction between Hare Zu and Hare Alai? Only by Kodshe Mizbeach. Only by items that ultimately, again, have to be offered up on the Mizbeach. Why? The Mechusr HaKrava. Because we'll look at Rashi just a moment. The Mechusr HaKrava. Techi Amar Alai. When a person says Alai, what is he really saying? Hachi Kamar Alai. Alai Lahavi Ula Azara. Aval Bedek Habayis Kamar Bahaf Rashaso. This incredible distinction. So Reish Lakish will say as follows. When do we make a distinction between Harezu and Hare Alai? That's by Kodshim Mizbeach. That's by items offered up in the Beis HaMikdash. So we'll say, now watch this. When a person says Hare Alai Ola, what is he really saying? Right? If we drill down, what is he saying? It's incumbent upon me to bring an Ola. So what does it mean? It's incumbent upon me to bring an Ola. What does that mean? It's incumbent upon me to deliver this animal to the Beis HaMikdash. That's what it means. And if I fail to deliver this animal to the Beis HaMikdash, again, if I say Alai, then it means I must bring a replacement. If I said Harezu, right, Harezu, this one, then if something happens to that animal, I'm off the hook. That's true when it comes to Karbanos. But when a person says Hare Alai by Bedek Habayis, so let's say I say Hare Alai Manazula Beis HaMikdash. I hereby take upon myself to give this mana, right, it's upon me to give a mana to the Beis HaMikdash. Reish Lakish posits that even if you say Alai in that case, if something happens to the mana, you are not responsible to replace it. Why not? This is amazing. About Kodshe Bedek Habayis, Delav Mechusar Akrava. Supposed to be Shlagish says something dramatically amazing. Because when it comes to Kachi by the Kabayis, which are not missing Hakrava, do not need to be offered, Afagav de Amr Alai lo Mechayiv. They both say, even though he said Alai, if he loses it, he's not going to say, now listen, this is absolutely wild. Shlagish is saying like this, going back to the idea that Lashema Aretz Umlo'o, the entire world belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which means what? If I go ahead and I say, Manazu Alai Lebedek Habayis, I should say no, Hare Alai Manal Lebedek Habayis, I hereby take upon myself to bring a mana to the Beis HaMikdash. And now what happens, Rabbi, I set aside a mana, the money gets lost. So Rabbi Yochanan will say, What's the halacha? Replacement. You said Alai, you said it's upon me, not upon the other, so I have to replace it. Reish Lakish says, no, you don't. Why? Because at the end of the day, what was your obligation? Your obligation was to deliver this to the ownership of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Is the money in the ownership of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And the answer is yes. Why? Because ultimately, again, the world in its entirety belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The fact that somebody stole it, the fact that somebody found it, it is in the property of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore, again, I have fulfilled my obligation. We'll say, this is very interesting. So in Rabbi Yochanan's world, it's really fascinating. In Rabbi Yochanan's world, he makes the classic distinction between Hare Zu and Hare Alai in terms of personal liability. Hare Zu, right, means the obligation is really, quote unquote, upon the object, and if something happens to the object, it's lost or it's stolen, I don't have an obligation to replace it. As opposed to if I say Hare Alai, I'm taking upon myself personal responsibility, and therefore if something happens, I have an obligation to replace it. Reish Lakish understands that no, the distinction is actually more between Kodshe Bedek Habayis and Kodshe Aguf. That when something is Kodshe Bedek Habayis, whether you say Alai or Zu, at the end of the day, there's no obligation for replacement. Why? Because wherever the object is, you have fulfilled your responsibility by delivering it to the ownership of God. Masha'in King Kodshe Mizbeach, which are Karbanos, really when you say Hare Alai, what you're taking upon yourself is an obligation to deliver the animal to a specific location. What is that specific location? The Beis HaMikdash. Failure to comply with that requires you, if you say Hare Alai, to furnish the Beis HaMikdash with a new animal. Really incredible. V'hatanan, we learned, Ha'omer shar zeh ola, bayis zeh karban, person says this shar is an ola, this home right, is a carbon, right? Meaning, when you say bayis, they're carbon. What you're doing is that's katshe be the kabayis. So ultimately, again, meis hashar, nafal abayis, in chay bach reyusan. Ultimately, if something happens to the shar dies, or the home falls down, you are not obligated ultimately again in achrayis. Yet, if we say shar ze alai, ola, bayis ze alai carbon, I would say if I use lashon of alai, then what's the halacha? Meis hashar. Something happens, the shard dies, or the home falls down. We'll say, what's the halacha? The halacha ultimately is I'm chayiv to go ahead and repay. Now, if you look at Rashi, if you notice again, Rashi brings down over, excuse me, if you notice over here, the Gemara is not making a distinction between katshe bedek abayis and katshe mizbeach. At the end of the day, we're just making the distinction between alai and zu. So the Gemara says, no, no, that case is different. Why? Because if the shor is dead, or the home has fallen down, even Reish Lakish will agree that chayiv l'shalim d'lesnu. We'll say, in this case over here, when the shor is dead, the shor no longer exists. In this case, where the home falls down, the home no longer exists. Aval heicha de'isnuhu. But if the item still exists, like in a case where it's stolen or it's lost, wherever it currently is, it is in the coffers, right? It is in the treasury of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. D'chsev, La'ashem ha'aretz umlo'o. Amra fanuna, hakom odim be'erchin, afagav de amra alai lo mechayich. So that's very interesting. Rav Hanuna says as follows, erchin. So remember again, erchin is, a person says, erki alai. I hereby pledge my value to the Beis HaMikdash. And then I set aside that amount of money. So Rav Hanuna says, everyone agrees that Allah Lamaisa, when it comes to erech vows, erechin, if I write, akol modim be'erechin afagav do amr alai lo mechayiv. Everyone agrees that even if I say erki alai, right, that my erech value is upon me, that ultimately what? That I am not chayiv to go ahead and replace the money. I'm not chayiv to replace the money if something happens to it. My time, or what's the reason? Delo mitmar belo alai. Because the problem is we're making an erech vow. There is no other way to phrase the vow except with the word alai. In other words, I'm not saying alai specifically because I'm looking to generate a personal responsibility. Rather, I'm saying alai because there is no other way to say it. Heich lema, what should I say? Lema arki, should I just say the word my value? Aman. Right? Who is that obligation upon? Lema erech ploni? Should I just say the value of ploni? Aman. Again, who is that obligation? Who does that obligation devolve upon? Maskif la rava. Lema hareni be'erki. Hareni be'erech ploni. So I will say, what I could say, hareni be'erki. I am hereby obligated for my value. I can leave out the word alai. I am hereby obligated for the value of ploni. Va'otan, Rabbi Nassan Omer, v'nassan es ha'erkecha bayomahu kodesh la'ashem. The pasuk says, you shall give the value, right? You shall give your value on that day. It should be kodesh to HaKodesh Baruch Hu. So what does this mean? Ma tamud omer, l'fi shematzinu bek deshos u'maisros, shemischalalin amma'os shebechulin. So we've learned in other places that what? If you have hekdesh or maisros, that have been deconsecrated on ma'os chulin, nignevu osha avdu, and then ultimately the money was stolen or lost, einon chayev ba'achrayusan. Ultimately, again, I am not chayev for the achrayus. And I was about to say, then halacha l'maisa, I am not obligated to go ahead and replace that money. Yachol, amabez, I will say, amabez, yachol af zekein, I might have thought that the halacha should be the same thing, vis-a-vis erech money. Then maybe once erech money is separated, halacha l'maisa, again, I also should not be obligated if something happens to it. Tamud lomar, v'nosan esa erkecha. There was a deposit that says you shall give your value. Chulin ad shiavoli de gizbar. Ultimately, again, the money is considered to be chulin until when? Until it reaches the hands of the gizbar. Shavosei means what? Something very interesting by erech money, which is that when you make an erech vow and you separate out that money, that money is your responsibility until it gets to the gizbar. That Allah HaLamayis says called quote unquote chulin money until it gets to the gizbar, which means if something happens to it, total liability is on you. Ela'i itmar haki itmar. Rather, if you're going to say, here's what you need to say. Amr of Hamnuna, Hakamodim be'erchin. Everyone agrees in cases of erchin. Ta'afagav de lo amr alai. Even if a person did not say alai, mechayiv. Ultimately, again, a person is chayiv. Dichsev v'nasan esa erkecha chulin hein v'yadecha. Ad she'avol l'digizah. So we'll say, interestingly enough, it turns out, just a side piece of information, that apparently erech vows are just dramatically different. Right? Remember again, a person says, erki alai, my value is upon me. So apparently what the Gemara is saying over here is the way just erech money works is that it is considered to be chulin money until it reaches the hands of the Beis HaMikdash, which, by the way, means a variety of different things on a couple of different levels. It means, let's say my value is $1,000. So I separate out $1,000 from my erech money, and I put it on the kitchen counter. And we'll say, then I need to go shopping. So if it's chulin money, what does that mean? That I could use it and replace it. But what it means for our purposes, which is the topic over here that we're dealing with, is that if something happens to that money before I get it to the Beis HaMikdash, what is the halacha? Everyone agrees that I'm on the hook to replace it. In other words, we'll say, I can't claim that it was Hektish that lost its money, not me. So we'll say, so good. So ultimately, again, just the way the sugya ends off is understanding the takeaway message over here is that birds, which are consecrated, are not subject to the halachos of Shiluach HaKein. Right? That's the bottom line takeaway message. What we ended up getting into over here, we'll say, is a much more fundamental dispute regarding how Hektish works. And specifically, this fundamental machlokes, when it comes to a situation ultimately of kedushas haguf versus kedushas mamon, when kedushas haguf and when kedushas mamon both apply, the distinctions ultimately between alai versus zeh and so on and so forth. Fundamental machlokes in Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, as well as between Rav and Shmuel. Incredible, says the Gemara Baiter. Chomer b'kisui, Tan Rabbanim. So we'll say the pasuk says, if you will come across a bird's nest on the road, what is the pasuk coming to teach me? Since the pasuk says, shaleach teshaleach esaim v'esabonim tikach lecha. So the pasuk says, you shall send away the mother bird. You shall send away the mother bird, and you shall go ahead and take the chicks for you. V'esabonim tikach lach. So the Gemara says, Let's listen to this. So I might have thought, maybe I have an obligation to go out and search for a nest. Right? In other words, once there's a mitzvah asay to send away the mother bird, maybe I'm obligated to go ahead and search out for the nest. Talmud Omar, Kikare. Therefore, the pasuk says, Kikare means what? Losho Mikra. When you happen upon means b'ma'or lefanecha. If you happen to find a nest, here is the obligation. Ultimately, again, that you have, but there is no obligation to search out the nest. Kan. So also when the pasuk says kan, a nest mikomakom. Rashi says afilu be'efroach echad over beit zachah. So also there is no minimum definition of what constitutes a nest. Even one egg, even one chick, ultimately, again, is a nest. Next, tzipor. What do I learn from the word tzipor? Tahora velo tmeya. Ultimately, this only applies to kosher birds and not to non-kosher birds. Lifanecha, in front of you. This is actually very interesting. Birshus hayochid. So I'll say, ultimately, again, this is true. Even if you find the bird, birshus hayochid. I will say, now, this is actually very interesting. What this means is as follows. That if you find a bird on your property, so I'll say, remember again, without getting too into this right now, halacha lemaisa, a chotzer is only kona, only acquires if it's mishtameres. Remember this from our Gittin days, a chotzer mishtameres. So only if the chotzer ultimately, again, is guarded, so to speak. We're not going to get into the technicalities over here, which means that technically speaking, even if you find a bird's nest somewhere on your property, as long as it's not mishtameres, the obligation of Shiluach HaKan will apply. Baderech, what does Baderech teach me? Birshus HaRabim. That teaches me that the obligation of Shiluach HaKan applies even in public domain. Bi'ilanos minayin. How do I know that even if I find the nest in the trees, that there's an obligation? Talmud Lomar Becholeitz. Both say the pasuk says in any tree, find the nest in any tree. Beboros sichin lema'aros minayim. How do I know that if I find it in pits, cisterns, and caves, that there's an obligation for shiluach hakin as well? Talmud lomar o al ha'aretz. So what I'm saying, the pasuk says, even if you find a bird's nest on the ground, which really means even in the ground, you're still an obligation of shiluach hakin. V'chimi achar shesofno. The rabbis called davar lefanecha baderach lamali. Let's listen to this. So now that we see that at the end of the day, we're going to go ahead and include every type of nest. So why does the pasuk need to say baderech? Lomar lecha maderech she'ein kanu biadecha af kol she'ein kanu biadecha. So we'll say derech teaches me that the same way that if I find something on the road, it is not owned by me. So too, the only time when there is an obligation for shiluach hakein is when the nest is not owned by me. The kanamur from here we see yone shovach v'yone aliyah. Also from here we see that birds, right, literally doves in a dove coat, or doves that have nestled inside of my home, shekanino, right, shekanino b'tfichin ubaviros, right. Ultimately, again, that I've acquired, that I've nested. Either in Tfichin, Rashi says, are ultimately, again, places in the wall. Babiros, literally, again, are in towers. V'avzin v'tarnagolun shekanunu b'paradis, or geese or chickens, which have nested in my fields. Chayiv b'shiluach. So I'll say that's actually very interesting. So here we see an interesting distinction, I will say, which is that halacha l'maisa, essentially, you could, if something is domesticated, and therefore, again, lives in a place that I have shlita, ownership over, that bird will not be subject to the obligation of shiluach hakein. But if I have something that lives on my property, but I don't really have control over it, even though it's nesting in my property, halacha l'maisa, that will still be subject to shiluach hakein. You hear that interesting distinction? So baderach essentially teaches me, if I own it, it's not obligated in shiluach hakein. If I don't own it, even if it's in my property, halacha l'maisa, it is subject to shiluach hakein. Aval kinenu b'soch habayis, but ultimately, again, if it roosted inside of my home, v'cheyone hadresios, and ultimately, again, these Herodian doves, which we'll discuss, pater mishiluach, ultimately, again, I'm pater mishiluach. Why? Ultimately, again, because I own these items. Amar mar, ma derech shein kano biyadecha, just like the derech, which I do not own, af kol shein kano biyadecha. Ultimately, again, the obligation of shiluach hakein applies to any bird that I do not own. Halamali, but I don't understand, why do I need this drasha? After all, michi yikare nafka. Ultimately, again, remember again, I learned this from the pasuk of ki yikare kansibar. Ki yikare means what? I don't own it. It happens in front of me. To which the Gemara says, no. Ki yikare prat lamazuman. Ultimately, again, what does ki yikare come to go ahead and exclude? It comes to exclude mezuman, both as something that is already prepared. Va'od, lifanecha lamali. Why do I need the phrase lifanecha? Ela lifanecha la'asuye shahayu lifanecha mar. Both listen to this. Lifanecha comes to include that even birds that I once owned and then literally fled. Supposedly, that's very interesting. Birds that I owned, fled, are now free birds. If I come across that bird somewhere, I'm obligated in shiluach. In other words, this is actually very interesting. I might have thought that since I once owned the bird, therefore what? Even if it escaped, I should not be chayiv in shiluach. Kamash mola, no. Even if I once owned it, if I now no longer own it, and I come across it, I'm chayiv in shiluach. Baderech. What do I learn from the phrase baderech? Kedrav Yehuda Marav. Tormei Yehuda Marav. Matzakhan bayam chayiv yishuach. What's the interesting case? If you find a bird's nest floating on the water, so what's talacha, Rabbosai? Talacha is you're still chayiv in shiluach. Shene emar, ko amar Hashem, hanosing bayam derech. So we'll say, what do you see from this pasuk? That the yam, the sea, is also called derech. So therefore, from the word derech, ultimately by shiluach, how can I learn that even if you find a bird's nest floating on the water, you are still chayiv in shiluach hakein? Ela me'ata, Matzakan b'shamayim. We'll say, what happens if you find a bird's nest in the sky? We'll say, where would you find a bird's nest in the sky?
blown by the wind, something like that.
Good, excellent. Or you find another bird carrying it in its beak, right? The bird is carrying a nest. So we'll say, so whatever the case is. The point over here is you find a bird's nest in the sky. So is there an obligation of Shiloach HaKein there as well? So that's the Gemara says, Ela me'ata matza kein b'shayim d'chsiv, derech nesher b'shamayim. Okay, we'll say, he uses the word derech, right? It is the derech of the nesher, the derech of the eagle in the sky. Ha'chinam d'nechayim Shiloach HaKein. The Gemara says, no, you're not obligated. Why? Derech nesher ikri, derech stamalo ikri. It's called, right, the sky above says it's called the derech of the eagle, but it's not called derech stam. So because it's not called derech stam, therefore if you find a bird's nest in the sky, you are not chayiv ultimately in shiluach. To which the Gemara says, so amr lei papo noyler amasno. This is incredible Gemara. Matza kan birosha shal adamahu. So what happens if you find a bird's nest on someone's head? Find a bird's nest, this is an incredible case. Bird's nest on someone's head. What's the halacha? Is there an obligation of shiluach hakan, shiluach hakin in this situation? Amar, supposed to listen to this, va'adama al rosho. He said yes. Why? Because the pasuk says that the earth was on his head. I will say, so the Gemara over here is quoting the pasuk from Shmuel. The earth was on his head. Supposed to say, what do you see from here? You see that it's still called adama when it's on the head of a person. Look at Rashi. Rashi's right across. Va'adama al rosho, afapi shahaya barosho lo avda es shma. We'll say, listen to this. Even though the earth is detached, that dirt is detached from the earth, and it's sitting on top of someone's head, it is still called Adama. Shma mina, Adam gufei Adamahu. So what do you learn from this? That Adam in his essence is called earth. Midlo avda es shma. Delo karya afar. V'hashta nami ala aretz karina b'ir. Both said, do you want to hear something absolutely amazing? If there is a bird's nest on the head of a person, ultimately, again, that is still considered to be on the ground. Why? Because a person is Adama. See, they both say something absolutely amazing. We're always Adama. The shaila is, are you mechubur l'karka, or are you detached from the karka? And both say the nafkamina is, if there's a bird's nest on my head, is the bird's nest considered to be at rest on the ground, or is it considered to be detached? The Gemara seems to say over here that we paskin that halacha l'maisa, more often than not, a person defines himself as Adama, and therefore the bird's nest is considered to be attached to the ground, and therefore halacha l'maisa to be an obligation of shiloach hakein. Jose, what an incredible idea. Incredible shalav to ask ourselves every single day. Am I mechuber l'karka or not? Am I Adama? You know, the Rebbe Yitzchak has this drasha. The Pasuk in Tehillim says, Adameh lekel elyon. So we'll say same letters, Adameh and Adama. Aleph, Dalet, Mem, He. They mean two different things. Adama means earth. Adameh means I will resemble HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we'll say this is the decision we must make each and every day. Am I an Adama or am I an Adameh? Am I earth or do I resemble HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We'll say one more. Moshe min atar minayin. So we'll say the Gemara just when it says this. Now we just do a little bit of a drushes over here. Where do we find a remez to Moshe Rabbeinu? Where do we find a remez to Moshe Rabbeinu before Moshe is ever mentioned? So the Gemara says, Bishagam hu baser. Both sides, the word Bishagam is the same gematria as Moshe. 345. So Bishagam hu baser, this Kosh Baruch saying, there will be one who is made of flesh, who will be different than everyone else. Ultimately, again, that's reference to Moshe. Haman min haTorah minayin. Where do we find the remez to Haman? The Gemara says, Hamin ha'etz. This is amazing. Hamin ha'etz. So this is by Adam and Chava when he confronts them about eating the fruit. We'll say you can listen to the shir I gave. I might have spoken about this pasuk. You can go back. It's online. Purim shir that I gave Mamish on this about Haman min ha'etz. Right? Did you eat from the tree that I told you not to eat from? Esther min haTorah minayin. Where do we find the remez to Esther? Va'anochi hastir astir. I will go ahead and hide my face. By the Tochacha, that's Esther Malka. The story of Purim is one of Hester Panim, one of where HaKadosh Baruch Hu hides his face. Mordechai min haTorah minayin. Where do we find the remez to Mordechai? Dichsev mardor. By the Ketores mardor, which ultimately, again, is one of the ingredients of the Ketores. And how does the Targum go ahead and translate? Mira Dachya. That's the Targum. Mira Dachya, we'll say if you put those words together, what do you get? Mordechai. So the remes to Mordechai ultimately is from the Ketores. The remes to Esther is Vanuchi Hastir Astir. The remes to Moshe is Bishagam Hubasar. Remember again, that pasuk is Vayomer Hashem Lo Yadon Ruchi Ba Adam Li Olam Bishagam Hubasar. Vayomav Mevesh Mishara Basar. This is after the Mabul. After the Mabul. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu is upset, he says, ultimately again, my presence will not rest on man. But obviously there's an exception. The exception is the one who will be Bishagam Hubasar. Who is the one whose presence HaKadosh Baruch Hu will rest upon? The Shagam, 345. Moshe, 345. That's Shemesh to Moshe. So we'll have to stop over here. We'll pick up Yemir Tashem at the two dots tomorrow. Shkoyach.